Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Well, how are we doing today? Well, for those of you who didn't say anything, you're going to be better. I want to thank Esteban Perez. If you see our new sign up there, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Esteban made that for us here at the church. He's great at making signs. You ever need a sign, you need to see him about that. I'm excited because I believe the Lord has really given me some direction for you and me. I went on a prayer retreat last week. I don't do it often enough. I go by myself ever so often, and it's been probably a couple years since the last time. I go over to Titusville. There's a retreat center there. I stay there, get to meet with a dear old friend there, and I just primarily lock myself down with God and ask Him for anything He wants to show me. Any correction, direction, any instruction. And it takes a little while to center down and kind of quiet yourself before the Lord. But God is faithful to show up if you seek Him. Amen. He's faithful. And you seek His face, not His hands. Most of the time people are seeking God's hands. They want God to give them something. And it's not wrong to have requests, but first you seek His face. You just want to know Him. You just want to seek His face. You just want to experience Him. You just want to love on Him without asking anything for Him to do something about, you know, your material world or your family and things like that. And so I felt like the Lord was emphasizing to me while I was away that there's one thing you got to stay focused on. You got to keep the main thing the main thing. And so I felt like I know the Lord was speaking to me about this. And so what actually happened to me in this time of being alone with God, and by the way, I recommend you do that. If you want to know the place, I'll tell you later. You can get a room there, and there's a prayer chapel and things like that. A very inexpensive, wonderful place to go. But anyway, I felt like the Lord was doing this with me. The word was recalibrate. Recalibrate. And that means to make small changes in an instrument so it measures accurately. If you're an automobile mechanic or electrician, you have instruments that every once in a while you got to make sure they're recalibrated, that they are giving you the proper measurements. And so for me, I believe the Lord was saying this is a time to recalibrate you, to make some changes in the way you think, or in the way you look at something or do something. And so this is the thing that I got the most out of my 2 days alone with the Lord. And so I came back and I said, but I got to keep this before the people and before myself, because we have a tendency to shift. We have a tendency to drift. We have a tendency to just, things happen, life happens, we get busy. We have family, we have issues, we have financial concerns, we have ambitions and desires and all those things that crowd our life. And without meaning to, very subtle, the enemy sometimes is behind many of these distractions in our life that pull us away from keeping the main thing the main thing. And so the emphasis is this sign up here, and I'd like you to say this out loud with me right now. The main thing is to keep. Now, this time I want you to say it with more boldness. What's the main thing? Well, the main thing, come on, say it with me. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The keeping part is your part. God's going to show us the main thing. The enemy is going to come in a very subtle way that you won't notice, and try to get you off of the main thing to a secondary thing. Maybe a good thing, but it's not the main thing that God created you for and has you here breathing His oxygen for. So one more time, the main thing is. Think you're going to get that? God had a main thing in mind when He created the world and when He created mankind. He had a main thing, a primary objective. And would you, if I'd ask everybody here to write down on a piece of paper, what would you say the main thing that God has for us to do or live or be? What would you say the main things? Everybody would write down something. We collect all those things, and we'd be surprised they probably wouldn't all say the same thing. What is the main thing? What's the main thing for you? May not be the main thing for somebody else. And so we need to know, well, what does God say is the main thing? And Jesus was asked this question at least three times in Scripture that I can see. So He was probably asked that more time, but it's three times in Scripture. He was asked, what's the main thing? Someone came up to Him one day and said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" In other words, what's the main thing? What's the greatest commandment in the law? What's the main thing? And you probably know Jesus' answer to that was very clear. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So He just summed up the whole Bible. He summed up the law of God. He summed up everything by answering the question, what's the main thing, teacher? Now here's the problem. I'm speaking to people today who are already familiar with this. In fact, you're so familiar with it that many times you don't take it seriously. I'm talking about myself. This is a radical declaration. I mean, it's radical when Jesus said this. And I know what some of you are already thinking. You're going to think, okay, He's going to preach about loving God today, so we know that we're supposed to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. No, I'm not going to tell you that. Because you can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. I'm not going to tell you. So don't think ahead of time, well, I know what He's going to preach about. We're supposed to love. No. I'm not going to tell you that. In fact, you can't love God like this. Because it takes God to love God. Loving God with all your heart doesn't start with you. Doesn't start with me. It starts with God loving us with all His heart. Loving God doesn't start with you. It starts with God loving you with all of His heart, with all of His soul, with all of His mind, and all of His strength. That's the way God loves you. In fact, that's the only way He can. He can't love any less than that. When God loves, He loves with all of His heart, with all of His soul, with all of His mind, with all of His strength. That's how He loves. He can't love any less than that. You can't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It takes God to even be able to love God. Look at what Scripture says in Galatians 4:6. It says, God has sent forth into our hearts the Spirit of His Son, crying, Abba, Father, God has sent forth His Spirit into our hearts. So we cry out, I want to know You. I know there's a God. I know there's a meaning and a purpose for my life. And our hearts begin to cry out, Abba, Abba, Father. I want my Father. Every human being is born with a desire to know God deep down inside them. They may not know it, they may not acknowledge it, but it was put there by the Creator and their Maker. It's in your DNA. There's something in you that you just know that there's a craving, a desire, a longing to know God. Not just to know about Him, but to know Him as Father. There's a craving. It's in you. Nothing can satisfy this thing except Him. We were designed by a Creator to seek God from birth. There's something in you that desires to seek God that you can't see. You desire this. You were designed by the Creator to seek Him and then to find Him and then to know Him. And then once you know Him, then you can love Him. Not know Him intellectually, but know Him as Adam knew his wife Eve. Intimately, you know Him, you encounter Him, you experience Him like He wants you to, because God has designed you for an encounter with Him. God has designed you to long for His heart. God has put in your heart a cry that's deep, deep, deep within you. You're crying out for God, and some people don't even know that's what they're crying for. You long for Him. You're created for Him. It's in your DNA. It's how you were made. And God has put that in you, in every human being, to want to know Him. To want to know Him. My wife's not here today. She's not feeling well. Pray for her. But I knew Pam, my wife. We've been married 43 years, and I knew Pam in junior high school. And I don't know what age you are in junior high school, whatever it was, pretty young. And I remember the first time I ever saw her. I saw her, and she was walking with another pretty girl, and there's two of them there. And I saw them when they got out of the car where the parents dropped their kids off of school, you know. And both of them were pretty, but I was just attracted to her. I thought, woo, man, she's pretty. And she's just like I like, you know. She's what I imagine one day my wife, you know, you and your kid, you wonder what my wife's going to look like one day. You know, I imagine her, you know, she's kind of a short, compact, you know, I like compact, and got dark hair and pretty brown eyes and everything, you know. And I saw her, and my buddy who was with me in junior high school, now he was more of a man of the world. He knew how to talk to girls, see. I was shy. I didn't know how to talk to girls. And I said, wow, who is that? And he told me, her name's Pam. And I said, wow, I like her. She's pretty. He said, well, talk to her. I said, I can't. And he said, why not? I said, I can't talk to her. I don't know what to say. He said, well, say hello. I said, well, I could say that, but what if she says hello back? I don't know what else to say. I mean, I really had a hard time with this. I'm junior high. And he was, like I said, he'd had girlfriends. He knew how to talk. He said, well, you just talk to her, man. You just say, how you doing, or whatever. He said, don't act like you know, you're really all that interested. Just kind of act cool. You know, I said, well, how do you do that? He's kind of give me some schooling, you know. He said, well, he said, Nick, tomorrow morning we'll come out here and we'll stand here. When she comes out, just say, hey, how you doing? Well, I went home and I tried to practice some of that in the mirror, but it just didn't come out right. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? No, it didn't come. Oh, no, no. I practiced, hey, hi, how you doing? And then I had to practice. Well, what if she says, I'm doing fine. How are you? I had to practice. I'm serious. I was nervous. And so I got ready, and I'm thinking, this is it. I'm going to make my move. I'm going to talk to her. And if she stops and talks to me, I'll ask her, how long you been around or something. I don't know. So she came out of the car, and this other girl, same pattern every day, And they walk by me down the hallway, and I'm prepared, and I'm nervous. I'm sweating. My hands are clammy. I feel my mouth is turning into cotton, and I'm gonna say hi, hey, good morning, or hey, how you doing? I'm ready. I practice. And so here she comes, and she's coming, and she's 20 foot from away. I'm getting ready. I'm swallowing. I'm trying to lay up against the wall like I'm kind of cool or something, and like I don't notice them. And they're 15 feet away. And then they're 10 feet away. And then they're 5 feet away. And I'm about to say the words, and I went, and I think they looked at me like, is he all right? And they walked right on by, and I went, I couldn't talk. I told her this the other day. I said, you don't remember, but I couldn't even talk to you the first time. She said, oh, come on. I said, no, I couldn't even talk to you. It took me a couple of years later in high school before I talked to her, but I couldn't really talk to her because, I thought I was going to have a stroke or something. And it just made me nervous. Now, I say all that to tell you this. When a guy is attracted to a girl, what does he do first? He seeks to know her. He seeks to know her. What's her name? What is she like? Where does she live? He maybe try to start a conversation. Hopefully it doesn't take 2 years, but you try to start a conversation. You seek to know her. When you are in your heart recognize you have a built-in attraction for God, what do you first do? You seek to seek him. You seek him. You have to seek him. The Bible says if you seek God, you'll find him. Okay. So the first step is that you begin to try to talk to him. You begin to seek him. Now, there's a right way and a wrong way to seek a girl. The right way is called romance. Romance is nothing more than adventure, discovering, and going, seeking. And the same thing is true with God. You don't want to ever become so familiar with someone that you want to know better, that you think you know everything. And the same thing can be true by coming to church every week and doing the same thing. Without any adventure, without any seeking to see more or experience more. And in the next few weeks, God willing, we're going to learn the right way to seek God. And His Word tells us how to seek Him. He made it very clear. It takes time. The more a guy seeks the girl, the more he gets to know her. If he stops seeking, he stops knowing. And the more that he gets to know her, then he comes to a time where he discovers if he loves her. If he doesn't, he stops seeking her. But after a period of time, after he gets to know her, and the more he knows her, he begins to discover if he loves her. And I've had people ask me before, say, well, how do you know the one? How do you know if you love that person, if it's love? And I would say this, how do you know you love this woman, this girl? I'd say, well, do you give her praise? Boy, you look beautiful today. You look so nice. Oh, you smell so good. That's a beautiful dress. Do you give praise? Do you find it easy to give things to her? You want to give. You want to bless. You want to give. You serve. You have a need. Oh, yeah, you open doors. You serve, you do things. You actually sacrifice when you love, because it's not really a sacrifice. When you love someone, it's easy to sacrifice for them. Are you with me? You have faith in them. There's joy just by being around them. And there's hope and confidence. And there's an obedience that comes with this love too, of faithfulness, doing the right thing. How do you know if you love her? You do things. In the same way, loving God is a process. You just don't make up your mind and say, I'm going to start loving God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you do that, you're going to wind up being a Pharisee. It won't come out right. You start out by loving God by first seeking Him. What do you mean seeking God? He said, I know, but you seeking and pursuing Him for an intimate relationship between you and Him. You seek Him. It takes time. And over a period of time of seeking God, He reveals different things about Himself to you personally. And then you begin to know God intimately yourself, because you have experience with God. See, most people have a knowledge about God because a preacher teaches them. Most people do not have a knowledge with God that comes from encounter and experience. But God wants you to have intimate encounter. It may start out up here, but it should travel right down here to where it's your own. You own this experience. You own these encounters. You own what God is showing you. He's teaching you things. He's helping you things. And then once you know God, it's just so easy to love Him. It's not hard at all. He's easy to love. How do I know if I love God? Well, the evidence is the same as if you were in love with somebody else. You'll give God praise. Oh, you'll give because you want to give. You'll serve gladly. Serve the Lord with gladness. You'll sacrifice at times just because you love God. And there'll be faith and joy and hope and obedience in your life. And these are the fruits or the evidence that you really do love God. Since God is perfect, I want you to think about this. He doesn't need anything. What value can God get from me loving Him? What value can I bring to God who has everything, who's completely perfect? What value can I bring to God by loving Him? He doesn't need me to love Him. Doesn't need me to serve Him. He's got angels that serve Him perfectly. So what value can God get from me loving Him? He doesn't need me to love Him. Well, here's the clincher. Because He, my Maker, my Creator, created me, He created me in such a way, if I do not fulfill the purpose for which He made me, then my life will be unfulfilling no matter what kind of outward success I have. If I miss the main thing for which He created me for, no matter what outward success I have, it will not glorify God. Because He made me and put in my heart a cry to know Him, Abba, Father, I must know You. And then the result will be to love Him. And if that doesn't happen, I don't fulfill the purpose for which He created me. No matter how many great things I accomplish according to the world. We see this today in so many celebrities' lives that we look at, and we see outward signs of what the world would call success. Consider some of these pictures of people that you know. This guy here, Jim Carrey, made some great movies. Funny comedian. Very talented guy. Next picture, movie star named Johnny Depp. Very famous. All the trappings of outward success. Another actress, Angelina Jolie. Very pretty, very made all kinds of movies, mansions, homes, all this stuff. And then this one you may not know because most of you are older, Lady Gaga. All the trappings of success, the world at their beck and call. And what all of these and many others have in common is each one of them have confessed publicly in an interview of being totally miserable on the inside. Miserable. All the success that most of the people of the world would say, man, I want that. I'd give anything for that. I'd sell my soul to the devil for that. Many people have. And these people have openly confessed in interviews that you can read about or listen to on the internet and say that their lives are miserable. They're miserable in their soul. Well, why? They didn't keep the main thing, the main thing. And a warning, the same thing will happen to you if you don't keep the main thing. The main thing. Oh, you can have a successful marriage. You may have all the money in the bank. You may be living comfortably. You may play golf 7 days a week. You may think you got it made. You can travel. You can do whatever you want. You got all this kind of stuff. No. No. If you have all the trappings of outward success, and yet you miss the main thing that the Creator made you for, you'll end up unfulfilled, unsatisfied. You'll feel like you're stuck in life without satisfaction. Eventually, you'll burn out. You'll be disappointed. You'll have bitterness, which will characterize your life, and you won't finish well because the Creator had greater plans for you. And it's the main thing about your life. On the other hand, if you do this, if you, like me today, say, for the rest of my life, Lord, this is going to be something that I go after. For the rest of my life, I'm going to keep the main thing that you said. And I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. I'm going to make that my intent, Lord, that you help me to do this. Well, you may still suffer persecution. You may still suffer hardship. You may still have disappointments in your life and even some bitterness. But it will not be the overall characteristic of your life. You'll overcome. You'll go through things. You'll come out the other side. And you'll have issues while you're here, but you will overcome because you are keeping the main thing the main thing. You're recalibrating every Lord's Day, every day if need be, every Wednesday. Recalibrate. Make some changes that need to be made because I'm starting to shift and get off course here. We're made for this. We're designed for this. So the question is, where do we begin, preacher? I'm glad you asked. It starts with recognizing that God, right now, this very moment, is loving you with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, with all of his strength. Because that's the only way he can love you. He can't love any less than that. Does he know your sin? Yeah, he knows about you. Does he know you? Yeah, he knows. But he hasn't stopped love. His love is there. It's 100% on you. This moment. Well, I don't feel anything. Well, it had nothing to do with that. Even though we've sinned, even though we're flawed, he's still loving us. Still loving us. A perfect love. 100% flame on love. The demands of his law never changed. They haven't changed and never will change. He says the soul that sins, it must die. The law can't be changed. It can only be fulfilled. So God himself sent his perfect son, Jesus, to fulfill the law that nobody on this planet has ever been able to fulfill. And Scripture says it like this, Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That kind of love. And then you know, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have ever lasting life. God is loving you right now. You may not have a gushy feeling. You may not have any emotions, but you are surrounded by His love. His love's underneath you. His love's above you. His love's all around you. He is loving you with perfect love right now. One person believes it. Did you know you can have love? You can love your child with a perfect love and your child not receive your love. Did you know that you can love your child with a perfect love and your child not receive your love? The same is true for God. Look at this scripture, John chapter 1. He came to His own and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God. To those who believe on His name, who were not born of blood, it wasn't an act of human will, but it was of God. Only God can do that. It takes God to love God. But here's the big deal. You got to be receiving that love. Most people shut down their receivers. Even when the preacher starts preaching, yeah, we know that already. We know that. John 3:16, yeah, we know that. Tell us something we don't know. We know that. They shut down their receivers. You got to be receiving. You got to open up the doors of your heart. You got to be expecting when you come to church, you're going to be receiving something today. You ought to come with a pad of paper and a pen. That shows, hey, I'm expecting to get something. You don't have to take down every note, but I'm expecting to get something that I got to chew on and meditate on this week. I'm expecting to hear somebody give me a word of encouragement. I'm expecting God to speak to me through a song. I'm expecting God to speak to me through the preacher. I'm expecting when I come here that I'm going to have an encounter with God Almighty. And when you're not receptive, you won't receive. And God knows the difference. He sees the door closed in many of your hearts right now. Your door's closed, shut. You're shut down for business. And you're saying, hey, it's Sunday. I'm taking it easy. And so you come to church and the door's closed and God says, and you don't even hear it. You got to be receptive. You receive God's love by receiving Him as Lord and Savior. You're God, yes, that's the start. And you do that by faith. But here's the deal. Majority of you would tell me right now, I've already done that. Jesus is my Lord. Okay, good. You opened the door one time, but after that, I don't know how it happened, you somehow kept the door closed. And you've been come to this church that is a very outward, expressive church, celebrated praise and worship. The preacher's pretty dynamic, but regardless of all that, you are not receiving and growing in the love of God for you. You've got to keep receiving. Look at these scriptures. John 15:9, Jesus said, just as the Father loved me, I also loved you. Remain, everybody say, remain. 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 In my love. Evidently, you cannot remain. Are you hearing? Indicates you can deviate from it. You might need to recalibrate today because you're not remaining in His love. Jude 21, keep yourself in the love of God. You, that's your responsibility. Ephesians 3:14, I pray, Paul said, that you be rooted and grounded deeply in God's love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:3, he said, I'm afraid, just as the serpent deceived Eve through his subtlety, your minds may be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And Paul wrote this to a church that had all the gifts flowing. There was a mega church in the city of Ephesus in the first century. Timothy was the pastor. They had everything going on. They had thousands of members. This church was so powerful that it impacted the Asia with the gospel. They sent many missionaries throughout the world. This was a mega church. On the surface, it looked like a great church, but look what Jesus had to say about this church in the book of Revelation. Revelation 2, to the church of Ephesus, I know your works, your labor, your patience. You have endured and labored and not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have left. You didn't recalibrate. You kept on doing the stuff. You kept on going through the motions. You kept the programs going. You kept the Bible studies going. You kept the preaching going. You kept the singing going. You kept the church services going. You kept the evangelism going. You kept all the stuff going. But I noticed. I noticed something that I don't like. And he severely warns him. He says, and if you don't change this, I'm going to come and remove your lampstand. In other words, you're going to close down if you don't change it today. So subtle. They were serving God. They had all the ministries going. But they left the main thing that they were created for. Now, by man's measurements, this was a successful church. This was a great ministry. Anybody outwardly look at them and say, wow, you guys got something going on here. This is a powerful church. It's growing. Yeah, but Jesus had another word. Yeah, I see all that. But you've left your first love. That's why I created you. You're missing it. You think I want all this? You think I want all this showy stuff? You think I want all... Those are good things, and I'm proud of you, but you've left your first love. Why I created you? Why are you here? You forget the main thing that I have here for you. Now, I want to jump down, because I'll share some more about this Wednesday night, but the point I want you to put up next for me is loving God is not an attainment. It's critical you see this. Loving God is not an attainment. It's not something you put on your to-do list. Okay, I've had my quiet time with God in the morning, so I'm loving God. No. You're going to have to take whatever time it is, and I don't know what your life is like, but you're going to have to do whatever it takes to keep recalibrating your heart to His. If you need to go away for a retreat, fine, do it. But whatever you got to do, you're going to have to recalibrate your heart through His so that His life, His words, His hands, His love will flow through you, and that's your ministry. Not all this other stuff. There might be some things, if you get along with God, that He may say, I want you to stop doing. Then stop it. The danger is, see, you can go to church, you can go through all the motions of being a Christian and not be fully alive to God like He intended. Your heart's not whole. So you got to be intentional. You got to be pursuing, seeking after God. And that may look like a lot of different ways in your life that you have not normally been doing before. But you got to start somewhere. I'm going to land the plane here. I'll finish up Wednesday night. But I want you to understand something. Jesus is coming back soon. Yeah, I know. We've heard that a lot. But He's coming back specifically, He says, listen to these words, for a prepared bride. Not just a bride, a prepared. Not a burned out bride. Not a depressed bride. Not a worn-out bride. All we do is work at the church. Well, maybe you need to quit some things. Serious. Here, I'm the preacher, and we need laborers, we need workers, and I'm telling some of you, you may need to quit some things. It's okay. Some of you need to do some things so other people can quit some things. But the point is that he's coming back for a prepared bride, ladies and gentlemen. How then do we, my responsibility as a pastor of this body of believers, the people that call this their home, how do I prepare the bride for you, Lord? How do we prepare the bride? Say this word up here with me again. The main thing is to... That's how we prepare the bride. That's the prepared bride, not a burned out bride. So maybe like me, you need to recalibrate. It's okay. It's better to do that than to go on and act like you got it all together. The Bible says God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So I don't even know how to begin. Well, start with today by just coming to the altar and saying, God, I don't even know how to seek you like he's talking about, but I'm willing to learn if you'll teach me. And I believe God would honor any honest heart right there. Because folks, if we don't do this, then there ain't no need to do anything else. If we don't do this, let's just please close the doors. We don't need another religious service. If we don't do this, please shut it down, God. God, if this church will not do the main thing, shut it down. Yeah, I said it. But I have confidence that you will. And he recalibrated my heart, and now he wants to recalibrate yours. Otherwise, whatever you're doing needs to be shut down. Would you stand with me? Altar workers, just stand up here and get ready. There's some of the most wonderful people up here ready to minister to you. They've already prayed about, God, whoever you send to me today, I'll speak to them, I'll minister to them, I'll help them. Some of them may have prophetic words for you, I don't know. But they're already here to saying, I'm ready to minister. What do you do? I've preached my best to you. God has flowed through me. I've heard from Him. I've shared with you. Now it's your responsibility. The ball's in your court. Are you doing this? If not, then just be honest about it. Come recalibrate. Come right now. While I'm speaking, come right now. Come to the altar. Ask God to help you seek Him. Ask God to help you recalibrate. Say, I don't know how to do this, God. He understands. But you put a cry in my heart for you, and I don't even know how to seek you, God. Well, come. Tell Him that. Talk to God. If you need prayer, then there are people here ready to pray with you. Other than that, that's all I can say. Now, God bless you and keep you. Make His face shine on you. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen.